Spirit.
Open them to the book of Exodus. We're going to go to Exodus chapter number 12. Exodus chapter 12, and as you're turning there, I just want to say that it is good to be in the Lord's house tonight.
Amen.
I tell you, Brother Connie, as I was listening to you talk about being raised in church and what a blessing it is to be raised in church.
Yes,
and my parents are here tonight, and I appreciate them for raising me in church.
Yes.
And when I was growing up, church wasn't an option. We never asked, you know, hey, are we going to church this morning? Are we going to church tonight? We knew where we were going. And with my dad, we didn't have an option of what church we was going to. We was going to Mill Creek Baptist Church. And I never even really thought to ask if I could go somewhere else because I just knew that it wasn't going to be allowed. And I had a friend. My good friend growing up, he went to another Baptist church there in town. There was a Baptist church, I believe, like we did. And I asked my dad one time, I said, can I start going to church with Mitchell? And he just said, why do you ask me stupid questions? And I don't know if he remembers that, but I remember that. And that was the end of it. We didn't even talk about it because I knew before I even asked what the answer was. But I'm happy that I was raised in church, the importance of church. And you know, church to me is just, when you're raised in church, the importance of raising your kids up in church is, to me, going to church Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night is just how it is.
Amen.
And when you've done it your whole life, I think it's just a little bit easier because that's just how it is. But I think the older I get, I realize that if that's not been part of your routine, I think sometimes we take it for granted, but if that's not been instilled in you, when someone is lost, to get them to start spending their Sundays in the Lord's house instead of out on the lake or resting and getting things done around the house, it's a change for them.
Right.
And we need to realize that, you know, that not everyone was raised in church and that as they get saved, you know, it's going to take them some time, but to realize that there's nowhere else I'd rather be.
Right.
And I'm telling you, that's the truth. When I come to church and I hear the song service, and I hear songs about heaven, and I hear songs about forgiveness of sin, and the Lord starts stirring in my heart, well, there's nowhere else I'd rather be. And I read in the Old Testament sometimes where it says that the glory of the Lord filled the temple, and that the Bible says they couldn't even stand in the temple because the glory of the Lord filled, and they just had to stand outside and look in. What an awesome thing, man. Wouldn't it be great if the glory of the Lord just filled this house, and we couldn't even stand inside. We just have to stand outside and look in. What an awesome thing. But I'll tell you, it's just good to be in the Lord's house. And if you got your Bibles in Exodus chapter number 12, we're going to start reading in verse number 1. But before we do, let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Dear God, I want to thank you so much for everything that you've done. I want to thank you for your word and for what it teaches. As we open it up to read from it tonight, dear God, I pray that you would have your hand on the service tonight over scripture that's read, over the words that are spoken. I pray that it's you that's speaking tonight, dear God, that you would speak to every one of our hearts. Let us leave here closer to you, Father, having known that we've been in your presence. We ask all these things in your most wonderful name. Amen.
Amen.
So the Bible says in Exodus chapter 12, and the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the tenth day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall take your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it out of the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door post of the houses wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, and roast it with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not it raw nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire his head with his legs and with the puritans thereof. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning. That which remaineth until the morning ye shall burn with fire. And thus you shall eat it with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand. And ye shall eat it in haste. It says it is the Lord's Passover. And verse 12 says, and I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And verse 13 says, and the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. I'll tell you, I think one of the most beautiful verses in Scripture, and those of you who know what this verse means, when you know what this passage of Scripture is a picture of, when you get to verse 13 and he says, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. I love the song that says that when I see the blood, I will pass, I will pass, I will pass over you. I'm thankful tonight for the blood of Jesus, that when we ask Him to forgive us of our sins, He completely, 100% forgives us as our sins. And I quoted this verse this morning, but in Isaiah, when He says, come, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be made as white as snow. And I'm thankful for the blood of Jesus tonight that it covers all of our sins. Every sin that you've ever committed, the blood of Jesus covers. Every time we give an example of sin, Bible says in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, we start giving examples of sin. Amen. And we start saying that we've all told lies before. We can think back to, as children, lies that we have told. I can remember when I was a little child, I guess because my parents are here, they're on my mind tonight. But I remember as a child one time I asked my mom if I could have an Oreo cookie, and she told me I could not. At which point I grabbed a couple of Oreo cookies and hid behind the recliner and ate those Oreos. Now, I don't know if you've ever, you know, been looked at right after eating an Oreo cookie. You can't deny when you've just ate an Oreo cookie, especially as a child when you get more on your face than you do in your mouth. But I remember my mom catching me in that lie. But we've all told lies. We give example of lies about lying over maybe eating a cookie or lying or stealing. But as I've grown older, I've realized that as I got older, my sins got a little bit more serious. And you know, the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And as the older I get, the more I realize how short I come of missing the mark. The more I realize what a sinner I really am. The more that I realize that when Jesus says that even my righteousness is but filthy rags, I understand exactly what He's talking about. That I am nothing. That there's nothing good inside of me. But I'm thankful that when we ask Jesus to forgive us of our sins, that the blood of Jesus completely washes and covers us of our sin. I'm thankful that when I stand before Jesus one day, when He looks at me, He's not going to see my sin. He's not going to see all the guiltiness, but He's going to see the blood of Jesus. And when He sees the blood of Jesus, thank God, He's going to be satisfied with that. Oh, I'm thankful for the blood of Jesus tonight. But I want to go back and look at the beginning of this verses, where the Bible says in verse number 3, it says, speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man. And the Bible says they're going to take a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. There was going to need to be a lamb. There was going to need to be a sacrifice. Can I be honest with you tonight? I don't know why Jesus requires a blood sacrifice for forgiveness of our sins. All I know is that the Bible teaches that's what He requires. He requires a blood sacrifice. When we go back all the way to Genesis and we read about Cain and we read about Abel, we see that Cain tried to come and he didn't want to come with a blood sacrifice. He wanted to come with his own good works, with the own works of his hands. And God rejected that. God rejected that. We still see men today trying to come to God through their good works. They think that they could give enough money to the church then that God was going to allow them to come into heaven. Some people think that when they die, that they're going to be in this place called purgatory, which is not in the Bible. And that if enough people light candles for them and enough people pray for them, that that's going to push them into heaven. And some people just think that they're living a good enough life that they are going to get themselves into heaven. But God rejected that from Cain, and He still rejects it today. He's always required a blood sacrifice. When Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, They hid and they covered themselves, and the Lord come down and He sacrificed a kid. He sacrificed a kid goat or a lamb, and He made that blood sacrifice and made a covering for their sin. God has always required a sacrifice. And the Bible says that when Adam and Eve sinned, that sin entered into the world, and now all men are born into sin. And all men were going to need a sacrifice. God knew that it was going to require a sacrifice, that somebody was going to have to die. He knew from the beginning of time, before He created the universe, God knew that we were going to need a sacrifice. He knew that. He knew we were going to need a sacrifice. And the Bible says that every man was going to get a lamb. Then the Bible says in verse 4, it says, and if the household be too little for, and it goes from a lamb to the lamb. I'm thankful that when God realized that we were going to need a sacrifice, He said, I'll be the sacrifice. And when He knew we were going to need a lamb, He said, I'll be the lamb. I remember when John the Baptist, as soon as he saw Jesus Christ coming, he said, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. God knew that we was going to need a sacrifice. He knew that I couldn't die for my sins. I can't die for your sins. He knew that there was only one sacrifice that would be acceptable. There would only be one lamb without blemish, and that would be the Lamb of Jesus Christ. And the Bible says that they would take that lamb and they would bring it into their house, and they would keep that house for four, they would keep that lamb in their house for 14 days. They would examine that lamb. Because for that lamb to be acceptable, it had to be without blemish. And they would have to examine that lamb. They'd have to flip that little lamb over on its back. They'd have to look under its leg. That lamb would have to be perfect, spotless, and blemish to be an acceptable sacrifice. And I'm going to tell you that when Jesus started His ministry, when He was 30 until He was 33 and a half years old, every day that He preached and every day He taught in the synagogues, those Pharisees and those scribes, they were watching Him and they were examining Him. And you can read all through your Gospels, they were looking for a fault. They were looking for somewhere for Him to mess up. They were looking for a way to accuse Him of sin and say, see, you are not the Messiah. You are not the Christ. Here's what we've seen Him doing. And as they were watching Him, as they were listening to Him, the only thing they could accuse Him of was claiming to be the Son of God. They never could say, hey, we heard Him speaking this kind of profanity. They never could say, hey, we caught Jesus in a lie. They could never say, we caught Jesus in some type of sin. They were looking. Listen, they were looking for fault. They were looking for something that they could accuse Him, and they couldn't find nothing. All the way up until the time of His crucifixion, you could see that they come together, and they couldn't find it. They had to conspire against Him, because they could not find any fault against Him. He was examined and come out without blemish. Amen. And I'm so thankful because of that. We needed a lamb, and Jesus said, I'll be that lamb. I'll be the lamb. Then He says, and if the household be too little for the lamb, let him take his neighbor next into his house, take it according to the number of the souls, every man according to his eating, shall make your account for the lamb. And in verse 5 it says this. He said, your lamb shall be without blemish. A male of the first year you shall take it from the sheep and from the goats. And it went from being needing a lamb to the lamb to your lamb. And I don't know about you, but I needed a sacrifice for for my sins. Jesus said, I'll be that sacrifice.
Amen.
And when I was 16 years old at the Wilds Christian Camp, the lamb become my lamb.
Yes. Amen.
He become my sacrifice. And the Lord is my Savior. He become my lamb. Is he your lamb tonight? Can you remember where you was at when he became your lamb? You know, I don't remember the exact date. I beat myself up for that all the time. I wish I'd have wrote it down somewhere. I don't remember the exact date. But if I could travel with you 4 hours from here, take you to the Wilds Christian Camp, I could lead you to the back of that gymnasium where that man opened up the Bible and he showed me John 14:6, and he started explaining everything I needed to do to be saved. And me growing up in a Christian home, I looked at him, I said, I know.
Amen.
And I knew what I needed to do. But that night, the Lamb of God become my Lamb. And I asked Jesus Christ to come into my heart that night to save me from my sins. And he forgave me that day. Every sin that I had ever committed was washed and put under the blood of Jesus Christ. And that day he become my lamb. Is he yours? So Jesus Christ, he knew we'd need a sacrifice. He knew we'd need a lamb. And he said, I'll be that lamb. And the day you got saved, he become your lamb.
Amen.
And that blood of Jesus, it covers you. I'm thankful that when I asked Jesus to forgive me for my sins, he didn't just forgive me for some of them. He forgave me for all of them.
Amen.
And I'm thankful that by the blood of Jesus, I'm his and nothing can change that.
Right.
I'm so thankful I don't have to worry about losing my salvation. I'm happy that I'm secure in his hand. And that Jesus said that no man shall be able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. But once you get saved, you don't never have to worry about losing your salvation. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10 and verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that the blood of Jesus, he didn't only forgive me for past sins, but he forgave me for future sins. Now, does that give us a reason to live any way that we want to? No, the book of Romans says, what, shall I continue to sin that grace may abound? God forbid. But I'm thankful for the blood of Jesus Christ tonight.
Amen.
And I'm thankful that I needed a lamb, and Jesus became that lamb. He became the lamb. And the day I got saved, he became my lamb. I don't want to add to this tonight because I believe this is what the Lord got me. And we might be getting out a little early tonight. But if heads bowed and eyes closed, I just want to give you a chance tonight to think back to where you were when you asked Jesus to come into your heart and he became your lamb. And you might not remember a date, but you should remember a place. You should remember where you was at. And if you can't think back to a place where you were at when you ask Jesus to come into your heart, if you can't remember that date, maybe you should just do a little soul searching and make sure that you know for sure that you're saved. You're not counting on what somebody else told you you did. You're not counting on just thinking that you, some people go through their whole life just thinking that they're saved, but they never really truly ask Jesus to come into your heart. If you can't think of where you were at, then I ask that you come forward this morning, this evening, and we can make this can be your place. And if you do remember that place, maybe you want to just take a little time to come up here to this altar. Thank Jesus for becoming that lamb. And thank him for saving your soul. Brother Scott, you come on up and lead us in a song.